I would like to introduce this morning our guest speaker. This man is a man that I've come to know and a man that I've really come to love very, very much. If you spend more than 2 minutes with this guy, you will love him. He is absolutely just filled with life, filled with passion. He's got a fantastic sense of humor. He's got a way of seeing the world that very few people can see the world. He is very gifted. He's very talented. He has worked with kids for the longest time possible, which just shows you how Christ-like this man really is. He is from our I will call it our father church or our mother church, Lake Mary, down the road. So let's all give it up this morning for Chris Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. That'll be presenting the word this morning.
Man.
Awesome, brother.
How do you follow Frank Kipp? Come on. Wow. You don't. But hey, everybody, I am so happy to be here in the family of faith-filled, big-thinking followers of Jesus Christ. Wow. And it wasn't so long ago. My name is Pastor Chris Johnson. I am, for the last 15 years, I've been over at Holy Cross, Lake Mary. And yes, I've been working with children and middle school students and high school students, for the last 15 years. And my mentor, Pastor Paul Hoyer, had this crazy idea when people weren't doing it that we should go out and we should plant churches. And it wasn't too long ago that I was sitting, not here, because I think this was like a nail salon or something, right? But we were right on the other side of this gigantic water hole, and we were in these leather chairs, because the place used to be it was like a medical office where people would go and get physical therapy. Okay, people would go and they would get physical therapy, and we were sitting there, and this blonde kid straight from the seminary said, I think this is going to be a great place to have a church. And I'm looking around and I smell Chinese food coming from next door, and I'm thinking to myself, man, he must see something I don't see here. And you know, he's just so passionate that this is the place that God had called him to. And so we're sitting in these leather chairs, and I said to him, what are you going to do with these leather chairs? And he goes, I don't know, man. I don't want them. So I, you know, get a U-Haul and I take the leather chairs back to Lake Mary, and they're still there today. But I thought, how cool is this, that this is going to go from a place that gives life-giving, like, physical therapy. And if your plan is right, God, if your plan is right, this is going to turn into a place that gives, like, life support spiritually to all of Lake County. And look, we're here right now. This feels so surreal. You guys have the coolest lights. Man, I watch you guys. Watch it. I watch you guys on the live stream like a proud parent. And I know I'm not God, don't get me wrong, but I click on and I see, oh, the Cross Mount Dora is live streaming. And I always see something new. You've got the tubes. You've got David Oliver Willis up here. You got all kinds of great stuff. And I just wanted to say, can I give you a piece of advice? Can I give you a piece? Just as somebody who has participated, now we've planted at Holy Cross, we've planted 4 churches. We have 4. Yeah, come on. And you are second born right here at the Cross. Biggest, but second born, right? And there are some things that happen when you give birth to a church. And so this is what I wanted to say. Like, look, I hear, ladies and gentlemen, that we are going to be grandparents soon. Yeah. All in Apopka, is that right? Yeah. Man. So let me tell you what's going to happen. Just a couple pieces of advice. At some point this is going to happen. One of the parishioners, your brothers and sisters in Christ, are going to come up to you and say, did you hear what your kids are doing over in Mount Dora? Did you hear what your kids are doing? Did you hear they're getting tattoos over there in Mount Dora? Did you see your kids were on CNN last night? Did you see that your kid is trying to break a world record for the longest speech? Did you hear, Pastor Chris, that the kids over in Mount Dora are firing Easter eggs out of a rented helicopter? And you just say, kids, we love them. And so there's going to be a time, ladies and gentlemen, mark my words, I am no prophet, but there is going to be a time where you hear, did you hear what your kids over in Apopka are doing? Did you hear that Pastor Mark is going to build a rocket and launch himself into the world's biggest bowl of chili to raise $50,000 for an orphanage in Honduras? No, I don't know. And you're going to say, that's my kid. I love it. So I am so excited to be here with you today. I watch you guys all the time. And I want to say this. We at Holy Cross Lake Mary love our brothers and sisters of this faith-filled family. And we are so thrilled at what God has done in this place. And so I bring you our best wishes. And it's just awesome. In the staff meeting the other day, I was talking and they said, so we allocated 40 minutes for your sermon. And I said, I usually go 20 minutes. I had never gone 40 minutes in my life. And the whole band went, oh, thank God. So that was awesome. And one last story as we get started. I love Mark Crossman. He's great, right? I love him. I've come to know him. He's a brother in Christ from Australia. No, I'm just kidding. But I love this guy. And so I, for the first years of your existence over here, I would come over and I would dress up in crazy costumes and do vacation Bible school over here, right? And so one year I had this big Yeti costume and it was ridiculous. It was Eddie the Yeti and by the end I wanted to burn the costume. It was so hot, it stunk. And so we're getting ready to do the following year. It was called Cave Quest, and we have at VBS at our place, we do 2 weeks. It's crazy, 200 kids per week. And I come running out, and day one, there's 200 kids, 100 volunteers. I come running onto the stage with this unibrow, a big club, and I'm supposed to be a caveman. And all of a sudden, the kids are going crazy, and I hear this voice that I recognize, and he says, "You suck! We want Eddie the Yeti! Who is this caveman clown?" And I see Jacob Bauman and Mark Crossman in the balcony. Like, I was like, I could do ministry with this guy. I love this guy. Yeah. So, that's the open. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this family of faith-filled, big-thinking followers of Jesus Christ. I know you're going to continue to do big things in this place, and it's not because of how great we are. It's because we serve an amazing, awesome God who loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. So when he looks at us, he doesn't see all those past mistakes. You don't see all those past mistakes. You see a reflection of perfection in each and every one of us because of our amazing Savior. Help us to walk in the freedom and the grace that you've given us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on. All right. I love it. You guys are so responsive. This is good. This is fun. Right there. Come on. In true Zach Zender fashion, he texted me at 11 o'clock last night and said, "Are you ready to bring it? Because this 9 o'clock crew is ready to bring it." I have a question, and this is kind of a rhetorical question. I'm guessing you haven't heard of this town called Catawera. And even if you're a biblical scholar, it's not going to help. Don't go through the Old Testament. I mean, it's going to help you in life, but it's not going to help you here. Catawera is a town in, it's the poorest city in Paraguay. Poorest city in Paraguay. In fact, it's a suburb of the capital city, Asunción. Right? And the thing about that makes Catawera, kind of unique, is that each day 3 million pounds of solid waste gets dumped in this city. 3 million pounds. And so all the other towns that are trying to look pretty, they take all their waste and they send it to Catawera. 3 million pounds a day. That means over 21 million pounds of trash gets dumped a week. And if you're doing the math, yes, 100 million pounds of solid waste gets dumped in this place every month. And so as you might guess, as you might imagine, land values in Catawera are not exactly good. In fact, I was listening to this podcast and they interviewed a 16-year-old girl from Catawera. And they asked her, what is life like in Catawera? Can you explain it to us? And she said in this podcast, she said that there is no hope in Catawera. No hope whatsoever. The only thing we produce is trash and drugs and lots of it. And so the podcast went on to talk about this man named Fabio Chavez. Fabio Chavez was an industrial engineer and he was tasked. He lived in Asuncion and he was a member of the church, his church's worship team. He was tasked with going to Catawera and trying to figure out how to manage this mountain of trash. And so he goes to Catawera and he drives into town. The first thing he notices is that there's kids all over the place. There are kids and they're playing on this mountain of trash because they had no playgrounds. And so he drives in and he sees the kids are happy. They don't realize that they're playing on mountains of trash. And it just struck him as a follower of Christ that there is something that he should do. This is not the life that had been bought for these kids on the cross. And so he starts thinking and he starts working through his like giftedness and he goes, man, I really enjoy instrumental music. I really like it. Why don't I gather up some recycled musical instruments? I'll go back to Catawera and I'll try to start an orchestra on my time off. So he does that. He gathers up about 7 or 8 instruments that he can find. He tells people what he's going to do. Drives back to Catawera. Within 15 minutes, he's got kids that are like ready to go. And he realized right away that he didn't have enough instruments for all the kids. And so he calls up his good friend. He calls up his good friend, George, who's a carpenter. And he says, George, I'm over in Catawera. Wow, that stinks. Yeah, I know. But there's a bunch of kids over here in Catawera. And you know what? I want to start an ensemble with the kids of Catawera. And he's like, wow, really? He goes, yeah, this is what I need you to do. I need you to meet me in Catawera. We're going to make some musical instruments. So George comes over and he sees that their only resource that they have is this mountain of trash. George was a carpenter. They started making instruments out of the stuff that other people were throwing away. They started making cellos out of oil cans. They started making flutes out of iron pipes. And this band out of Catawera, the discarded kids that had no hope, that lived on a trash pile, became the recycled orchestra. They have played for kings, princes, presidents, traveled the world. And you want to know the best thing about that? The kids made so much money off of the touring that they bought their family's homes away from the trash pile. This town of Catawera, look it up. This town of Catawera has now become a respected town. Man, seriously. They played for Stevie Wonder. They played for rock bands. These kids were once looked at as complete misfits. And these misfits made beautiful music. And when you look through scripture, I don't know if I'm any different, but when I look through scripture, I see a pile of misfits. I see a pile of misfits. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And what about Paul? We're talking about Paul. My goodness. He went around murdering Christians. And God said, well, no. I'm going to change this game plan, Paul. You're no longer Saul. Amen. Thank you. Woo. And he, what about else? Who else is in the orchestra? Mary of Magdala, Mary Magdalene, not her last name, Mary of Magdala had demons, so many demons, nobody wanted to be associated with her. They drove the demons out of Mary. She was the first one to the foot of the cross. She's singing in this band. Here's my question. Today, as we look at this letter from Paul, this is something I think we have all wrestled with, and something that I got to be honest. I know we're streaming this. Hi, Lake Mary. This is something I struggle with in my ministry, like communicating this message. If Christian freedom has a purpose, what's its point? Freedom gives you the opportunity to love your neighbor. Yes. This gospel, this pure message is this. There is nothing you can do. Nothing you can do that usurps what Jesus did. See, here's the deal. Do we have that verse? Can we pop that up? It is, look, read it together. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Why would you go back to the trash pits of Catawera after what Jesus Christ did on the cross? But here's the problem. You ready? Here's the problem. As human beings, we want to add to that salvation. We do. And the enemy comes in and says, yeah, you should. You should. And so this is what happened in this reading right here. This is what happened. Yeah. So Paul goes and he sets up this church, right? And he tells everybody, he spends Galatians 4 saying that we are saved by faith, nothing else. Like pure doctrine right there. There is nothing you can do in your own salvation. And if you read through Galatians 4, it is just like, and then Paul's like, man, did I waste my time with you guys? Are you kidding me? Why don't you get this? Jesus died on the cross. Why? And you can tell like he's frustrated because he has the heart of a pastor and he loves his sheep. And so this is what happens. The Judaizers come back into this young church and they say, yeah. We understand what it means to be saved by faith. And Jesus did 99% of the work. But there's still 1% that you have to do. That's what he said. That's what they said. And Paul is like, no. If you don't think Jesus Christ did 100% of the effort, then we might as well just blow up this gospel because you are not getting it. But we want to add. We want to add. And what's the product if Jesus doesn't do it all? I will tell you what the product is because I've seen it over the course of 15 years. People in my inner circle that I love dearly believe this lie that Jesus didn't do it all. And so this is the product. If you don't think Jesus did everything for your salvation, it is either pride or depression. Is the product if you don't think that Jesus bought it all for you. If you think you have to pile on to that, what Jesus did on the cross, it's pride or depression. And let me explain it in a real world practical example. Pride, because we hang on to the legalism, right? We hang on to the legalism that there is something that we have to do. And back in the day in Galatians, it was Jesus plus circumcision. Okay, yeah, Jesus, but go get circumcised. That's what it was in Galatians 5. You can read it. And he said, yeah, you're probably a good Christian, but did you do this? And that's just like such an open door for the enemy to come in and swoop in and say, are you really saved? And so it either leads to pride because we start to take pride in our own holy works, which don't matter one bit to God. God's like, yeah, show me your works. Okay. Yeah, real good, kid. Or it leads to depression, and this has happened too. I've had people who I've walked with for years who strive to earn God's love, and they don't realize that God loved them before they, while they were still sinners. While we were still sinners, we turned our back on God, and God's like, man, I love you so much, I'm sending my son, I'm going all in on my creation. And so this is what happens. You either get this sense of pride or you get this sense of depression. And this happened to somebody that I know. It was like, yeah, but I just want more meat. I just want more meat. Come on. And so then, not here, but other congregations play into that and say, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. Because that's human nature. Where else do we get something so great for free? Nowhere else. Nowhere else. This is the place. We get it for free. God did it because he loves us. And then the enemy comes in and swoops in and convinces us that we have a part to play in our own salvation. And people become frustrated and walk away from the faith. Pride or depression. And they walk away. I've seen it happen. But what's the product of 100% Jesus? What's the product of 100% Jesus? It says it right here in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, forbearance. That's the product of a relationship with a loving God. And you know what? Just in case I'm not clear enough on this, I want to go back to Scripture and talk a little and review what Scripture says about freedom. Can you pop those verses up? We're going to rapid fire. Bam! Rapid fire! Okay, good. Whew. Thought I was back at Lake Mary for a second. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, come on. I love you. It's my family. Come on. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth. Okay, man. I thought we were participatory here. Come on. All right. Next one. The rapid fire. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Slaves to righteousness. No longer are we slave to the law. No longer are we slave to legalism. No longer are we living in a trash dump. No longer. Now we get to walk in that freedom that Christ has bought for us. And if you think you've heard the message before, welcome to it again. Because we need to be reminded, because as soon as we leave these walls, the enemy is ready to break us down. The enemy is ready to convince us that we are not worthy, that we are not children of God. And so we have to come to a place like this and be reminded of our identity. And our identity comes as children of Christ. Amen? Let's go. Rapid fire. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, amen, and benefit you reap leads to, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. The good news is this world, as great as it is not the end. It's broken. And someday Jesus is coming back. He's defeating sin, death, and the devil. And we've got to figure out how to live in that freedom right now. Because it can be confusing because it's a broken world, man. It's a broken world and sin abounds. But we are slaves to God. Next one. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. No longer are we tied to sin and death. We have victory. Man, we have victory. I got another one, don't I?
Oh, yeah.
I got all kinds of verses. Oh, I love this one. I love this one. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is... That's a good song right there. That would sing. That would sing, David. That would sing. You should write something up, buddy. Here's the question today, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters of the faith-filled, big-thinking followers of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Man, this is the question. Now, how are you going to use that clean slate? How are you going to use that clean slate today, knowing that there's nothing we can do to earn more love from God, right? How are you going to do it? I would say that, here, think about this for a second. This is what I preach every week to those kids. I say, man, a life with Jesus is not a life about following the rules. It's not a life about the law. It's a life about living in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and self-control. And sometimes I fail miserably at that. And here's the cool thing, is that God uses his freedom to wrap his arms around me and say, Chris, I love you. You've read my book, right? The best-selling book of all time.
Yes, yes, yes.
Available in many languages.
Yes.
Kindle, too. Amazon. He said, you've read my book, right? He goes, you realize that whole book from Genesis to Revelation is a story about how I pursue my creation. About how I love my creation. And sometimes, Chris, you're going to fall short. Pick yourself up, boy. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. I have clothed you in a robe of righteousness. It means that no matter how low we go, we are a part of an amazing orchestra, whether we're in Orlando, Lake Mary, Mount Dora, and we're all connected together by the same Savior. What's your instrument? Because God makes beautiful music out of misfits. Each and every day. Oh, I want to show you something. I got 4 minutes and 2 seconds. I love this clock.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It's so good. In the back, our sound guy just goes, this is so good. I love you, tech team and dream team. So good. You guys, this is such a blessing. So cool. All right, I want to show you that those kids from the dump, right? Their identity came as like misfits. I want to show you this clip. That's Catawera. Yep, that's before. Catawera, Paraguay. Kids playing on the dump. It's a slum built on the landfill. One of the 1 million pounds of trash being brought in.
Mi nombre es Ada Maribel Ríos Bogado. Tengo 13 años y toco el violín.
Look at that violin. Look at that violin.
Me llamo Juan Manuel Chávez, más conocido como Baby. Tengo 19 años y toco el cello. Este cello está hecho de una lata de aceite, la madera tirada en la basura y las clavijas son de una vieja cuchara para golpear la carne y para hacer el gnocchi. Y suena
así. Check this out. Are you kidding me? That's trash thrown away.
Oh, yeah.
Misfits with no identity.
Wow.
Whoa. Amazing. Amen. God makes beautiful music out of misfits. Welcome to the club, misfits.
Yeah.
I got 2 minutes left. I can do a prayer. Let's go. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing this band of misfits together, man. I love this crew over here. And I know, Lord, that the truth is that the enemy would have us to believe that we are misfits, but the truth is not that. The truth is not that. The truth is, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your only son who died for us. He lived a perfect life when we couldn't live a perfect life. My prayer today is, Lord, I pray that you would bless all the families in this room. I pray that you would continue to guide and direct us with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that when we do good works, that we would realize that that is just who you've created us to be. That there is nothing that anyone in this room can do to earn more of your love because you loved us so much. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, just continue to bless this place. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I love you guys.
Woo-hoo!